Good morning. I brought a timer. You don't need to worry. So, just love my church family. Thanks for allowing me to be here. I can't use it, so let's not worry about it. I'm technically challenged. But the message is not. It's a beautiful message that the Lord laid on my heart. For today, it's been on my heart for a very long time. We ask, the title of the message is asked in a question. Perhaps you've asked this at least once through your Christian life. I know I have many times. And the title of the message is, Do I Have a Gift? Do I have a gift? And because God's all about multiplication, He multiplies. He's good at it. He never gets it wrong. Because he's about multiplying, some other questions that you may have asked are going to be answered in this same body of Scripture. What are the gifts will be read. Why were the gifts given? That's very important. Why were the gifts given? And were they given to every person that calls on the name of Jesus Christ? Also, God's will is going to be discussed, His good and pleasing and perfect will. How can we not be along with that? Amen? So if you have your Bibles, let's turn together. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where the main portion of the Scripture is coming from. We'll also be looking in Romans 12, if you want to put a marker there. Romans 12. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. The verses are 4 through 14. 4 through 14, 1 Corinthians. I'm reading from the NIV version. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of languages, tongues. And in still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And you notice you're either a Jew or a Gentile, you're either slave or free. That's everybody, folks. Amen? So let's look at a few of these beautiful promises together in what we just read. Verse 7 actually answers two of the questions. God gets right to the point. You ever notice that? He gets right to the point and he stays on point and he makes it very clear. Listen to verse 7 with me, please. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. Other versions will say for the building up of the body or for the edification of the church. It's all about one another. That's how you can distinguish the gifts of the Spirit. It's a little hard to heal yourself and, okay. They're given for community. They're given for community. Amen? That word manifestation, my grandpa, he would say that's a 50-cent word. Now, in today's culture, we'd probably say that's a $50 word. So what does it mean? What does it mean? It's a beautiful word. And how many know, just get a reference. Go get a concordance. Go get a reference of some kind and look it up in the original language. Oftentimes, the original language is going to shed so much light on it. So manifest in the original language. I'll have to spell it because I can't pronounce it. But anyway, Phanaru, not Xanadu. No, we won't go there. Phanaru, Phanero, Phanaru. The primary word it comes from is phos, P-H-O-S, blah, blah, P-H-O-S. You know what it means? It means light. Is that beautiful? It means light. It's to properly illumine, to make visible, to make plain in open view, to become apparent, something that you can graspable. That's what that word means. So we can grab hold. God is expressing his Spirit among his children. And it's something that should be visible, and it's something that can be grasped, and it's something that each one has been given to manifest. Glory to God. That's what that word means. I'm sorry, English language, but you didn't do a very good job of explaining it. So oftentimes, as Pastor Dave says, let's go to the original language. Let's see the intent of what God wants us to understand about those beautiful words. So in verse 7, look at that again. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. And then it tells you why, for the common good. For the building up of what Paul refers to as the body of Christ. The building up of the very body of Christ. Each person has a gift. Just said so plainly, are you niche? Every member of the body of Christ is one of these persons. Why were the gifts given? You just read it. It's for the building up of the body for the common good. Building up of the body for the common good. Now let's look at verses 11 through 14. All these gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each person just as he determines. Love it? That's a God thing. God the Holy Spirit distributes them as he sees fit. I'm comfortable with that. Aren't you? Just as the body, though one, has many parts. Verse 12. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. What's he talking about? He's talking about Christ's very body on this earth, the representation of Christ on this earth is supposed to be his body. It's very clear, isn't it? So look at verse 13. For we were all baptized so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were given to the one Spirit to drink. He didn't leave anybody out. Amen? It's good stuff. We just read for ourselves that all Christians make up the body of Christ. And always remember who is the head, the chief cornerstone, the rock of Scripture, the chief cornerstone, the rock, the branch. And if you'll notice, they're capitalized. What that means is that's a sign of deity. And that can only be in reference to Christ. He's the head. We're supposed to be the little Christ. The word Christian, the first usage of the word, you understand that the first usage of the word is very important when you see it in Scripture. It's actually in Acts 11 and 26. Let me read it to you, please. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Okay? The word disciple simply means teacher, being taught, a student. And just for our information, I'm 66. I'm still a student learner. I will be until the day the Lord takes me home. There's just too much information for our little minds to take grasp of on this earth. But you know what? We will see and we will understand someday. The word Christian literally means little Christ. Little Christ. That's what the word means. Let's look at a few scriptures that help us further understand our position in this family, in this thing called the body of Christ. Our relationship to God the Father. It's very clear in Scripture. Very clear in Scripture what it is. Allow me to share these with you. This is a memory verse my brother gave to me a long time ago. I was struggling with, how do I know I feel like I'm slipping away from God? How do I know that he hears me, that he's still with me? This is the verse that my brother gave me. It's in Romans 8. If you're ever down, really feeling overwhelmed, go to Romans 8 and just start reading. Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our little spirit, little s, that we are God's children. The Spirit of the living God testifies that we belong to him. I can't add anything to that. Can you? Need any more? No. So the other one's in Mark, third chapter of Mark, 31 through 34. If you come up to me afterward, I can give you an idea of what the scriptures were. What I say is not so important, but what God says, it's very important. Amen. 31 through 34, Mark 3, 31 through 34. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." And that's Christ himself. The Word of God clearly proclaims a family relationship, doesn't it? That we as believers need to understand and enjoy the confidence as children, what the Father's relationship is to his children. And Christ as our brother has secured forever for the children of God. Amen? Just a few more scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12. Please read this one with me. We'll all speak from different Bibles, but just let me read this to you. It's beautiful. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one has a part in it." Please go down to verses 31 of chapter 12 and the first four verses of chapter 13. We're going to read these as they were meant to be. We're going to read them together without a page break. Where's Terry? Terry's a building inspector. I was an electrician for my working life. Son of God first, electrician way down on the list somewhere. There's Terry. So he goes on these big jobs. It's important that the electrician or the contractors know how to read what's called a ladder diagram. A ladder diagram is only used, it's to point reference and to get you to the right point on the blueprint, so that you can make a change when the inspector says it's not up to code. Right, Terry? Pretty close? Or think in terms of a sea captain on the ships navigating across the globe. And yes, it's round. No. won't go there. The sea captain uses latitude and longitude to find his position. The chapters and verses are given as latitude and longitude to help you find. It's by the translators. It's not canon of Scripture. But I think God said, you know what? These folks are going to need you to put this down in chapters and verses so they can understand me. So he gave these chapters and verses as a locator. Think of it as a locator to get you the right point on the map, okay? We're going to read these straight through. I'll read these straight through with no page breaks. You will see, you'll understand fully why. Starts in verse 31, chapter 12. "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way." So that tells me this is even more to be desired than the excellent gifts. "And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." You know what that sounds like? The Message says a rusty gate swinging on its hinges. That's what it sounds like. "If I have the gift of prophecy, and if I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship so that I can boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. That's the word of the Lord. Can you see it? There it is. The most excellent gift is the love of the Father, which Christ empowered us to receive as our possession by shedding his own blood on a cross over 2,000 years ago. That's how it came to us. That beautiful act of worship to the Father. Remember, he came not to do his will, but he came to do the Father's will. That beautiful expression of love was expressed on a cross on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And by the way, that's the only way we're empowered. Scripture says so. That relationship with the Father is still available today, yet today, still today. That relationship with the Father is still available. Can you imagine with me if the whole body of Christ, all the members, were working in that resurrected spirit of a loving Father, that resurrected love of his Son operating on the face of this earth, what it would do? Pastor Dave's right. He always says, don't give up. Yes, there's the biggest expression, understatement, I believe, that was ever put in the Bible. And yes, there's an understatement. It says, yes, with man it is impossible. Duh, hello. But with God, all things are possible. How many know when God says all, that's exactly what he means? We're going to see that someday. We might as well learn our part in it. It says it's going to be revealed on this earth. And here's what's going to happen. And we're going to look at two of those verses. Might as well be a part of it. Ask any of the prophets, ask any of the ones that went before if it paid off not listening to the Lord. You don't even have to look it up, do you? Just a few more. I'll conclude, I promise. I love this verse in Jeremiah. It's in Jeremiah, first chapter, Jeremiah 1, verse 12. The Lord said to me, Jeremiah, you have seen correctly, for I watch over my word to accomplish it. Just let that soak in. God himself watches over his word to make sure that it's accomplished. By the way, with or without us. I'd rather it be with us, amen. The other verse is in Joel. I'm sure many of you have heard it before. I love it. So it's a prophetic word that was given to the prophet Joel. And it shall happen. We just read in Jeremiah, he watches over his word to see that it's accomplished. It will happen. Joel 2, 27 and 28. You will know that I am present in Israel and that I am Yahweh your God, and there is no other. My people will never again be put to shame. I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Sons and your daughters, you're either a son or a daughter. Amen? Your old men will have dreams. I'm ready. And your young men will see visions. It's going to happen. I believe there's gifts operating in here all the time. I know there are. What God wants is all of us to be a part of it. And it's offered. You heard Pastor Dave before I started say the gifts are encouraged here. The gifts are offered. One thing I can tell you with certainty, your gift will be confirmed in more than just you. But don't be afraid to go. Can I tell you, I had a young man I talked to just recently. I prayed because I wanted to make sure that what was laid on my heart, what I had in my heart, was what God wanted for me. And I told him, guess who laid that on your heart? But make sure of it and have it confirmed. But who do you think is the one that laid that love on your heart for your desire? I'm still concluding. It's all right. It's all right. For the conclusion, we need to go to the book of Romans, Romans 12. You're going to see the word affirmed, reaffirmed, confirmed over and over again, what we just discussed in 1 Corinthians 12. Romans 12 starts in verse 3 through 5. I promise we're getting a little closer, but. Do any of you know how long Charles Spurgeon preached? No, I'm not Charles Spurgeon, but there was an old pastor, preacher named Charles Spurgeon. Wonderful. If you like a commentary, you like to look at commentaries. It's a little hard to read because it's in the King's English. But he went on 3 or 4 hours. Looking at his sermon, it looked like a huge pamphlet or a book. And he did it on Sunday. So... No, I'm scaring people. Never mind. Okay, Romans 12, 3 through 5, two verses. We can handle that. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. See that word again? Each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's what it says. So at this point, it would be like having the worship team up here with all those beautiful voices coming to the crescendo, coming to the highest point, the voices all in harmony, beautiful harmony. That's what I saved Romans 12, 1 through 2 to conclude. Because this is the crescendo. This is the build-up to what I believe is the heart of God in all of this. And he starts out by saying, therefore. Well, the therefore is what we've studied before we got to the therefore. Amen. It's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then listen to this last part of the verse. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Wow. Can you hear the angels singing? What a choir. All of the little Christs coming together. Did you know that's how he intends it? We all have a part. We just read the scriptures. We all have a part of the body of Christ. We're each a member, and we belong to one another. The scriptures just said so. We're all in each, or in each person has a gift to give. Every one of us has at least a gift or multiple gifts. Every one of us. The Word says so. It doesn't matter what I say. The Word says so. We read it in the Word. We can trust the Word. We learned that it's for the edification, the building up, for the common good of something called the body of Christ, of which we're all a part. That's what we learned, isn't it? Can you imagine with me if all the little Christs, it extends far, far outside these walls. You've heard the pastor say many times. It extends all the way to China. Where in China, they take down the cross that's on top of their church. And they have to go underground to worship like we do. The Coptic Christians in Egypt that gave up their lives rather than recant their faith in Jesus Christ. And no, that wasn't thousands of years ago. That was only a few years ago. Now imagine all of us, little Christ, walking in the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of that light across all humanity. What would that do? What would that do? Would there be anything that was impossible for God to do through that? Certainly not. Pray for the underground church. We pray for one another in here. We pray for a large body called the body of Christ, which is made up of all the little Christ, which are a representation of Jesus Christ himself on this earth. Dave was talking about a participant. This is a participation, not a sideline. This is all about a participation. And we can see it come together. Would he ask anything of us that he wouldn't give us the very power to do? He just said in his love that it comes through the love of God. It comes through the Father's love that all of these things are expressed. So we're about love in here. The world's about hate. It's rapidly coming to an end. I believe the Lord will say, jump on board with me because I've got a better plan than the world does. Can we pray together? Lord, I thank you for the message. I thank you that it was a strong and clear message given by just simply a vessel. That's all I ever want to be, is God's vessel. I want to be open to what God would have me say. This message is needed to be given from me for a long time. It's been on my heart for a long time. And the pastor enabled me to do it. I thank him for it. Most of all, I thank the Lord God because his word is powerful and sharp and clear, and we can count on it. So I just ask all of us as little Christ to start. Some of us need to start. Some of us need to just keep doing. Let's just encourage one another, and let's just build one another up. If you're looking to the pattern of this world, you're going to be deeply disappointed. And the Word says that you cannot learn these things which are spiritually discerned from a secular world. But we can take them to a secular world and see the world change to the glory of God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I'll tell you why I was excited when Tom told me what he wanted to share with you this morning, because I think it's timely for our church. We've been in this facility now for 4 months, and as we've gotten comfortable and began to sort of feel like, I don't know for you if it's true, but for me, I'm beginning to feel like this is home. I'm beginning to feel comfortable and confident of what we are doing here. But that means now that we're ready to launch out. And we're ready to begin to demonstrate to the community and to the people around us who God is at Remnant Life Church. And so for each of you here this morning, I want you to leave this place confident in the fact that God has gifted you. You are all gifted in the things of God and what He's called you to do. But here's the thing I want you also to keep in mind. I might preach this some other time. So Tom's been my launching point here. Don't look at someone else's gift. This is not about someone else. You may or may not be able to stand up here. You may or may not be able to do anything that's happening up here. You may or may not be able to be the kind of person that hosts people and welcomes into your home or provides for people. All of those are things that God is going to use, but He's given you a particular gift. What Tom encouraged us this morning is, what is that gift? What is that gift that you have? Well, number one, I know it needs to be given back to God. It's given by Him, and so I give it back to use it for Him. And number two, it has to be done in love. And so, church, as we move forward as a family, I want to encourage you, every single one of you are gifted. Every single one of you have abilities. They may be in front, they may be behind, but I don't want anybody ever at this place to say, I got nothing to give. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And I want to make sure that this will be a house where every single person is going to be comfortable and confident. You say, what if I screw up? Okay, join the rest of us. Be a human. There is nobody that's not going to mess up. We learn as many things from when we mess up as when we do when we're successful. Read about the things of the Old Testament, those prophets. Read about the disciples and all of the things. None of them were by any means perfect, ever. So what I want to do is I want to encourage you this morning. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that very much. Now, here's what I want you to do.